is February 17th, and the topic this month is purpose.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm sorry if I inconvenienced anyone last week, but being human, along with being spiritual, I came down with what they called the flu. But it has seemed to have left my body, so I'm delighted with that. So with that said, I behold you through the eyes of love, you radiant beings, you gods and goddesses. Once again, I hope that is starting to sink in. I've been saying it, I know, over a year now to you. So you should have it memorized somewhere in your mind, and it should sink into your consciousness. That is one of the main things to learn in this life. That you are connected to this thing called God, that you are a God in the making. While I was home with this so-called flu thing, I watched a little bit of news, and I think it was even last night, on Curry, is her name Katie something?
Katie Couric.
She had a little episode about religion and about churches and how the brand name churches are falling off in attendance. And now they're going to start to compete with each other, and they're going to put ads on television and all this. The reason why I bring this up is I could care less if no one goes to church. It's never necessary to go to church. If you know that you're one with God, that is all that you need to know. You do not need to put up with all the doctrines and all the twaddle that is out there in these different religions. But the reason why I bring that up is they're going to start to compete with each other, all the different denominations. There is no competition in the mind of God. God does not compete for anything. You, studying religious science, in religious science we know that there's no such thing as competition. There's only creativity. You see, you cannot compete, because God would be competing against itself, and you would be competing against yourself. So if you're in business and you think you have competition, or you're competing in any type, way, shape, or form, that has to be your ego mind doing that. And that's the way of the world. The world says you have to compete. Why does it want to compete for business and different things? When you set up a competition, you say one wins and one loses. In the mind of God, there's no such thing as a loser. Everyone is a winner. That's why we add that tagline when we do a treatment. We add the tagline for the best of all those concerned, because everyone has to come out the same. There's no such thing as competition. Then if you also have the idea of competition in your mind, what you are saying is you do not live in an abundant universe, because there's only so much to go around and you must compete to get that, you see. And that is not true either. And we find this with money. We say, oh, those people have all the money. That's not true. They have money. You can never have all the money. And you also can decide that you want your part of that. And that's always your part. You're never taking anything from anybody else. The world tells you that it's a pie. And you could only slice a pie so many ways. This thing that we're talking about, this thing called God, does not run a bakery where you're slicing up pie and it's so thin now, the slices, that no one's going to get any. The idea is to remember that you have the whole pie. You have the whole pie because you are the whole pie. You see? So don't get into competition, and don't worry about these churches or that God's going out of fashion. God's not going out of fashion. Religion is going out of fashion. God is always going to be in fashion. What did human beings do long before they set up these organized religions and so forth? They knew that there was something bigger and more powerful than themselves out there. All Aborigines knew that. And they worshipped that. And they honored that idea, that there is something bigger than them. They realize that they did not create themselves. We are creators, but we did not create ourselves. We have no idea how to create a human being. Only this power, this thing that we call God, this intelligence, this wisdom, knows how to do that. And if you want to go back to that other old thing where only God can make a tree. But we think, because we use our ego mind, that we can do all these things. This teaching is not about the ego mind. It will teach you that about the ego mind and how it taunts you constantly. And this is what we're trying to learn here, is not to be taunted by our ego mind, which is race mind in action, the ego mind. The ego mind also tells you that you must have results for everything that you do. And this is not true. That's the world teaches is result-oriented. Spirituality, or this thing called God, is not result-oriented, you say. So this is what we want to know about ourselves. This month, the topic is purpose. And here again, purpose is like anything else. You have to come up with the idea of what your purpose is here on this planet, on this plane of action. It does not mean that you're supposed to be, your purpose is to be a doctor, a lawyer, a candlestick maker, or whatever. You can make it that if you want. And the world is going to teach you that because of being result-oriented. You have to do something. You have to make something of yourself. You have to make money. You have to blah, blah, blah. Nothing wrong with all of that. But is that really the purpose of your life? Why you are here? Don't you think that you're here to have fun? To find this thing called bliss? To be happy all the time? And not have all these problems. There's no problems in the mind of God. When you have a problem, it's because something in the ego has gone off. Something in the ego. God cannot have a problem. Can you imagine God worrying about something, having a problem? No, not at all. So your purpose is to realize that you can just be. And being is an effortless type thing. When you learn that you're not doing anything, you're not causing anything, then you're starting to be. And when you start to be, your life unfolds effortlessly. And you are taken care of. And things come to you automatically. Simply because you have let go of the idea that the world has told you. The world has told you that the purpose to be here is, of course, to work. I love to work, by the way, and I've never had a problem with work whatsoever. Simply because, not only, I would like to say, not only because it fills the time, you feel good. It makes you feel good. So if that's my purpose, to work, but not to always be accomplishing something and not to be result-oriented. If I do this, then I have to get this, and this has to happen, this has to happen, this has to happen. Just allow yourself to be and allow things to come to you instead of chasing after something. Things will unfold in divine right order when you realize that you're connected to this thing called God. God is never going to let you down. God is not going to keep you poor or any of those things. If we're poor, if we're rich, if we're all these different things, it's because of our thinking. It's because of our thinking. So, learn to control your thinking. If you have one a purpose in life, the purpose should be to control your thinking. I know lots of people who are very, very successful, and their ego mind is telling them that they are successful because they have cars and planes and trains and houses and all that. Nothing wrong with any of that stuff. But have they learned to control their thinking? When I say learn to control your thinking, I mean learn to control your emotions so that you're not on this roller coaster, this up and down thing. You're not hurt when somebody says something mean to you why God never gets hurt, you see. So we should not get hurt either. When somebody says something, that's their opinion, and that's all that is. And then you can decide how you're going to take that. If you're going to mimic the world, you're going to get upset. You're going to say, oh, it's perfectly all right for me to feel this way because that's the way the world feels. That's the way humans feel. That's not true. That's not true. We are conditioned. We are puppets of our conditioning. And we think that we have to react in a certain way. And you do not have to react in a certain way. You can decide to react any way you wish. So that's another purpose in life. Learn to control your thinking. That's what this teaching is all about, is learning to think correctly, learning to think differently, learning to think from this mind of God instead of your small ego mind. So if your one purpose in life is you can want anything that you want and desire anything that you want, but when you realize if you let that go, what your desires are and so forth, this thing called God will fulfill you with desires and so forth that you could never think of. Because we cannot think with the ego mind. When we think with the ego mind only thinks from past experiences and from knowledge that it knows at the time. It can't think any other way. But the mind of God, you see, makes all things new. So if you learn to think from the mind of God, your life will change. Things will be different. But we're conditioned to think that we can only think with our ego mind. So give up that ego mind. And you all know what that ego mind is. And you all know what that ego mind does to you. And yet we constantly play this little game. I do it myself. Please, I'm not above that. I tinker with my ego all the time and watch it do something, and I fall for its little tricks. And then I wake up and I decide, oh, I better think of something else here than this ego mind. Otherwise, you will not have a happy life. And who wants to go through this life without being happy, without being fulfilled, without having a purpose of some sort? You see? This is what they want to do. Andy, will you read that and pass it on, please?
I am mindful.
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 And I am mindful. That is a Buddhist expression, by the way, to learn to be mindful. Mindful of what? Mindful of what you're thinking. Mindful of what you're doing. Mindful of what's in front of you. Instead of just be automatic about everything. You see, most people are just automatic. They just live with stimuli hitting them all the time, and they keep reacting to it. They keep reacting to it. The idea in life is not to react. The idea in life is to respond. How do I wish to respond to this stimuli that I was just given, you see? This you do by becoming mindful or by watching the movements of your own mind. You know now that you are not your mind, and you ought to be able to see the movements that are going on inside of your mind. What do I mean by that? I'll give you an example. At Christmas time, I sent my grandniece and grandnephew checks. They have never entered the bank. They have never entered the bank. Now my mind wants to play with that. They don't care about you, Dallas. They have too much money. What would they buy through this? Yada, yada, yada. All kinds of garbage. So then I said to myself, why don't you call them and ask them to the checks were lost or what's going on here. Well, they just never took them to the bank. So they said they would do that immediately. I said, I would appreciate that. I get tired of carrying it from 1 month to the next, you see. Now, I could have gone into a tailspin, and I could have decided that they don't like me, they don't need the money, they're awful people, I'm never going to talk to them again, and I'll be damned if they're ever going to get another check out of me. You see? But I was mindful of my thinking. So I called and solved that problem. How many times do we let something spin around and spin around? We come up with all kinds of scenarios of what's going on wrong, and then we find out we're completely wrong about the whole thing anyway. You see? So we have to be mindful of what we're doing and what we're thinking about. And I didn't want to lose those people. I think those two grand nephews and that nephew and niece are wonderful little people. So, and they have nothing to do with it, you know. Why would I get mad at them? It would have to be their parents. Well, I did get mad at the parents too. But I can correct that. I correct those things. See, and this is what we have to learn to see what our mind is doing to us. And that was nothing but my ego mind doing that. It had nothing to do with spirituality whatsoever, people. But you have to catch your mind and correct that. And we do that all the time. How many actors go out on auditions and they don't get the part? And they come up with all kinds of scenarios. They didn't like me, I wasn't good, I wasn't this, I wasn't that, 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 that. You didn't fit the thing that the people wanted. You cannot, when you're a casting agent, you have no idea what the casting agent has in mind. No idea whatsoever. And you also have no idea what the casting mind, casting agent, what's going through their mind. They may have had to put their kid in the hospital that morning, you see. So you just have to do your work the very best you know how to do and let those people alone. And make your mind stop telling you things that aren't true. The mind will do nothing, especially the ego mind, comes up with every kind of scenario under the sun. But it never comes up with a good scenario, and it never comes up with the correct scenario. You can analyze it up one side and down the other, but it will not give you a good scenario. That's what you have to know. You cannot trust the ego mind. It is not your friend. It has never been your friend. It has never brought you any good news, and it will never do it. And this is what you have to do. Why does that happen? I don't know. But I know that's one of the conditions on this plane of action. And it's one of the conditions that everyone goes through. And we think that the mind is telling us the truth. Very rarely is it telling us the truth. You see, it's not doing that. And the world wants to keep you upset, wants to constantly keep you upset. It's a big thing also on that news program I was watching. Caramel color in Coca-Cola and all soda drinks causes cancer. That was the big headline. So now you get all upset over that and your mind goes spinning around, and then the next thing they get an expert on and says, yes, but you'd have to drink 9 million cans a day for that to happen, you see. But meantime, you immediately say, oh my God, I'm going to come down with cancer, I'm going to do this, I look at this, this, that. That's the world. It's sensational. It always wants to grab your attention. It always wants to tell you something bad about the world. It doesn't tell you any good news out there. It tells you all kinds of, and we start living from that. This is what it means to be mindful. What is really going on here? Do we live in an abundant universe? Absolutely. Absolutely. And we must remember that. No one can count the stars in the heavens. There are too many. They go on and on and on. No one can find the edges of the universe because it goes on and on and on. I love to look around and I like it. These ficus trees just amaze me. The leaves that they have, no one could count those leaves. Millions and millions of leaves on one ficus tree. This is an abundant world. This is abundant. These are the type of things you want to get into your consciousness. When you look at something, you want to say, oh, look at the beauty, look at the abundance, look at the prosperity that's going on. Then the world's teaching everyone right now that this is a horrible time that we're going through. It's just a time that we're going through. We can't add that world terrible to it and get ourselves all upset, which they love to do, and nothing's ever going to work again, and the economy's not coming back, and this isn't happening, that isn't happening. That's all done with this ego mind. So you have to be mindful, and you have to make the decision. Am I going to listen to this, or am I going to move my consciousness to a higher level of thinking? And you can call that a higher level, up to what God, what we assume God is thinking. Because we don't know what God's thinking. We only know that God is loving, you see. And that's the things that you have to remember. You just always have to remember those things. So when you're mindful, what else do you have to be mindful about? You have to be mindful that you are God in the making, and that you truly are magnificent human beings, and that you are worthy and deserving, totally lovable, and that you matter. With that, let's do the matter dance.
I matter, I matter, I really, really matter. I matter, I matter, I really, really matter.
Yes. Every client that comes to see me, I have to explain to them that they matter. So many of them do not know that. And the problems that they think they have always arise from those things. Any problem that you're having, if you just sit down and go, worthy, deserving, totally lovable, and I matter, and figure those four things out, your problem will go away. Because it has to do with that. It has to do with inside of you, what you are thinking about yourself. What you are thinking about yourself. Doesn't matter what the world thinks. Doesn't matter what anybody else thinks. It's you. You are the number one. And what you are thinking is the most important thing in your life. And the most amazing thing is, you can choose to think what you want to think. And that's what you have to know about yourself. That you can choose to think what you want to think. Doesn't matter if it's you think it's real, not real, if it's right or it's wrong. Those are just qualities that the world gives to something. It doesn't matter. What matters is, what do you think about it? What do I think? How do I think about myself? How do I think about other people? How do I think about the world? And how do I think about this thing that we call God? You're the one that's doing that. That's why that these churches are losing, congregants. If they're losing them, they're losing them because they're not teaching them that they are worthy people. They're not teaching them that. Remember when I go to my brother's church, which I don't go anymore, when I did go, they make those people stand up, and this is a Presbyterian church. Yeah, Pine Street Presbyterian Church. That they're unworthy. Now, who wants to come to an organization, stand up and say, hello there, I'm unworthy? And they think that that is all right because they want to be unworthy in the eyes of God. Now, why would God want you to feel unworthy? Makes no sense whatsoever. No sense whatsoever. God didn't create you to be unworthy. You see, the whole thing is so contradictory, because they say God doesn't make junk. Well, if God doesn't make junk, then God doesn't make unworthy people. You see? You have to, this is learning to think for yourself, learning to think differently about yourself. So I think the churches, unless they change, they will keep dwindling, because people are becoming more intelligent all the time. The world is completely different than it used to be. The world can't get away with all these little lies and so forth that it used to. One of the reasons is this thing called the internet and all the things that happened. Look what's happened in Egypt. It would have never happened years ago because they would have been able to put that down. But now it's out in the open so quickly because of the internet. You can't lie to people anymore. Not that I'm saying that religion lies, but it distorts the truth. And it distorts the truth so that it, years ago, distorted the truth so that it could keep people in line, so that you felt guilty enough every week that you would go to church and put money in the plate so that they could build a big facade. Now, I'm glad all that happened, by the way. I love going into cathedrals. I love going into churches. And I think that's absolutely marvelous. It is not necessary, but it is a marvelous thing when it occurs. And if it gives people hope and inspiration, I'm all for that. But it has nothing to do with God whatsoever. What has to do with God is what you are thinking about yourself. What you are thinking about yourself. So hold yourself in the highest of esteem. Know, and we had this a couple months ago, we had it when I put the card around. I am being taken care of. You have to know that you are being taken care of. That this thing called God is for you, never against you. You see? You have to know that. But not in that holier-than-thou attitude that some people get and all this, that, and everything. No one can get any closer to God than anybody else. No one can have any more of God than anybody else. No one can be any spiritual than anybody else. That includes this dear, sweet woman called Mother Teresa. She learned how to do all that. She didn't wake up one day and become Mother Teresa. She worked on it for years and years and years, with prayer and discipline. And that's what the purpose in life is discipline. You must discipline your thinking. That's a purpose in life. But the other purposes that people think are getting them nowhere. Getting them nowhere. Wouldn't it be nice to always have peace of mind? Wouldn't it always be nice to think good thoughts about yourself and all? You can do that. That's up to you to do that. And don't let your mind put you down and say, oh, I made a mistake, I did this, that, and the other thing. There's no such thing as a mistake. There's no such thing as a mistake. Your life is unfolding exactly the way it is supposed to unfold. It's unfolding exactly the way you're thinking. If you don't like the way it's unfolding, then you change your thinking and it will start to unfold in a different way. And this thing called God will always be with you and will always be for you. So that's what this whole thing is. And to be happy here on this plane of action, if you're going to stay 80, 90, 100 years, why do you want to punish yourself? Why do you want to punish yourself? And so many people are waiting, of course, for death and so forth, because they think something will happen in death. Death will not improve you. Death doesn't improve anything. It's just death, that's all. You're still the same person you always were. And you'll take that to the next plane. So learn to do it now. Learn to forgive yourself. Learn to see yourself as the magnificent person that you are. Learn to enjoy your life and what you're doing with your life. If you're an actor or whatever, I don't care. Doesn't matter. You have to learn to enjoy what you're doing. And learn to constantly forgive yourself for all those other little things. The mind does not want you to learn to forgive yourself. It wants to hold things against you. My mind used to throw up things from 30 and 40 years ago. It never left go. And when I was younger and before I got into religious science, I thought, isn't that wonderful? I have such a wonderful mind. I can remember something almost verbatim from 30 years ago. And I thought, oh, that means I'm so damn intelligent and all. Well, it was enough to drive you crazy, I'll tell you. Enough to drive you crazy. You don't need to know that stuff. And you don't need to remember that stuff. The past is the past. Let it there. That's in the Bible when it said, let the dead bury the dead. Let the dead bury the dead and let it stay dead. We want to run around digging everything up all the time. You cannot. The past does not exist. The future does not exist. They are mind constructs. The only thing that exists is what's in front of you at the present moment. The only thing that exists in your life is how you are feeling at the present moment. How are you feeling about yourself at the present moment? That's the only thing that counts. The only thing that counts. When I was had this whatever illness last week, I didn't remind myself of any illnesses from the past. I did not bring any of that into my consciousness. I said, this is what's going on at the present moment. I can handle what's going on at the present moment, and I know that the dish is never dirty. The dish is never dirty, meaning that there's something attached to me at the present moment, but who I truly am has never been touched, never been touched by anything on the outside of life. And that's what you have to remember. So this has nothing to do with me whatsoever. It's just a little bump in the road at the present moment. And if I concentrate on it and I start to look at the past or I start to project into the future, I'm holding on to it. I'm keeping it there. Instead of saying, this is what's going on and it's not going to stay. It's not going to stay. It's the moment in life that counts. So forgive yourself if you think you've made any type of mistakes. And we all do. I used to, oh my goodness, mistake after mistake after mistake. But I never think of any of those things anymore. And when I do make a mistake, I say, oh, I made a mistake, and I go on about my business. I never punish myself, and I never think about it again. Because it serves no value whatsoever. It's no good to you or anybody else. What is good to you and to everybody else is to know that you are worthy, deserving, totally livable, and that you matter, to learn to live in this moment. Be filled with love and joy and forgiveness, then you have a purpose in life and you help everyone around you. You help everyone around you. You know, when you love yourself and totally love yourself, people know that and it rubs off on them and they get to thinking, oh, if he can do it, I can do it. He's no better than I am. You see? He's no different. There's no difference in here. No difference. No one is ever better than anybody else. But the world tells us what? That we're always less than. That we're always less than the other person. That's an impossibility to be less than anybody else. That's the whole idea of this thing of competition and all. You cannot be. You cannot be. You have to know that you are the only person that will ever be like you. There's never been a person like you before, and there'll never be another person like you again. You truly are the rarest of the rare. So when you know that, then you have to realize that you are here on this plane of action at this present moment in time because you have something to give. Because you have something to give. And what is it that you have to give? You have love for yourself to give to other people. You have this thing called love. Love, by the way, and it's so trite always to say, love is the answer to everything. Love is the only power that there is in the universe. Love is what keeps this whole thing going. And we do not understand it. We have a word for it. But no one knows exactly what love is. Because they think love means that somebody loves me or I love somebody or that. No, it's much bigger. It's much bigger than that. And we're part of that whole thing. And that's what we have to remember. That we're part of something. And we're all part of the same thing. So, We all live on this plane of action with a purpose to learn to love ourselves, and to learn to love ourselves more and more and more. And the more we do that, the better we become, the better this whole planet becomes. Because it's done with consciousness. And the more we add to that consciousness of good, the more the good comes into the world. And that's what we're here for. To bring good into this world. To be emissaries for this thing that we call good. To be an emissary. That you were sent here. If you want to use that whole idea, know that you're sent here. In the Bible, what does it say? I'm about my Father's business. Learn to be about your Father's business. You see? Learn to bring good into all and everything. Good. Robert Bitzer, you've heard me talk about him before. He was the minister in Hollywood. And he told me this. I do not make the best of anything, Dallas. I make things the best. So make things the best for yourself. You know, I love the idea that when they say, I can work with that. I can work with that. So when anything's in front of you and it doesn't look good and you're this, say to yourself, I can work with that. Because you can change it into anything that you want. Instead of saying, oh, I can't work with that, that doesn't work, this doesn't happen, that. Everything works. Everything works because everything is God. So if you're having a problem at work, if you're doing anything, or somebody gives you a horrible job to do, just, I can work with that. I can work with that. And I can make it the very best. If you don't do that, what good is it? Years ago, and when I say years ago, I was 21, so subtract 21 from 68, and you'll discover how many years ago that was. There was a lady by the name of Mrs. Goose. Her and her husband had a very large hobby shop in Syracuse, New York. And she hired young people. And the young people did not like to clean. They did not like to sweep the store. And she said to them, pretend you're sweeping up diamonds instead of dirt. And you see, that's what we have to do. We have to decide it's not dirt, it's not this. It's diamonds. It's God. It's something wonderful going on here. And I can make the best. And I can make it the best. And I can work with it. So learn to work with your own life and learn to work with anything that comes in to your experience. Look at it and say, oh, I can work with that. I can work with that. See? And your life will change. So these are the different things when we think about purpose and all. Now, I did these talks about purpose because of Andy here wanted purpose. What is your purpose? So many people want a definite answer to what their purpose is. You know that I'm going to become a candlestick maker. That's my purpose in life. That's a job. That is not a purpose, people. That's a job. Your purpose is completely different than a job or a career or whatever you want to call it. Your purpose here is to learn to love yourself. Your purpose here is to learn to love yourself and then learn to love other people. And to bring something new and wonderful into the world. And be able to work with anything that is in front of you. And see it as God and as beauty. And it will change. And you'll be able to work with it. You'll be able to do something. You can make anything work. You can make anything work. Because you have the power of the whole universe behind you. And it's wonderful. And so are you, and so am I, and there ends the lesson. Thank you. Thank you.